Council will come back into session. First item on the agenda is executive communications. There are none. Next item, general communications. Are there any communications from council members? If not, we'll go to the acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting, which there are none, and then public comment under Rule 41. I understand two people signed up. I know they both spoke at the previous public hearing, and I do not see anyone there. If I could have that list from the clerk. Yeah, Justin, if you could read the names. Rob Cody? Maureen McNamara. Okay, there's no one here on public comment. The next item is announcement of appointments, and that's the assistant chief harbor master, Guy Couture of 540 Tidewater Drive in Warwick. And that's a term to expire March 1st, 2022. That's an announcement of appointments. Appointments requiring confirmation, there are none. Consent calendar, PCR 16019, resolution relative to bids, committee report, finance. Favorable action.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 160-19.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe. Go ahead, Councilman.
First item, 2017-064, State of Rhode Island copiers, favorable action. 2017-136, Barracuda backup, favorable action. 2019-166, State of Rhode Island ice melt, favorable action. 2020-157, rodent control, favorable action. 2020-158 has become PCR 16219. 2020-159, purchase various tires, become PCR 16319. 2020-159B, purchase various tires, has become PCR 16419. 2020-168, favorable action. 2020-170 has become PCR 16519. 2020-171, testing and repair of breathing apparatus, has become PCR 16619. 2020-172, thermal imaging, favorable action. 2020-177, structural fire, fighting coats and pants, favorable action. 2020, Gatsby Day fireworks, favorable. 2021-01, Independence Day fireworks, favorable action. 2021-002, National Night Out, fireworks, favorable action. 2020-191, dumpsters, favorable action. 2020-193 has become PCR 16719. 2020-195, reaccreditation services, favorable action. 2020-197, service agreement, HVA systems, favorable action. 2020-201, police undercover, favorable action.
It's been moved and seconded. Are there any questions on finance that were not asked in committee? Any questions that were not asked in committee? If not, a yes is to approve PCR 16-19, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 PCR 16-19 stands approved. We'll take up Councilman Lattiser, the ones that were removed. I believe the first one was 220-158, which is now PCR 16219.
The recommendation of the committee was to hold till November 4th.
Held till November 4th. Next item on the agenda is 220-159A, now PCR 16319, recommendation finance.
A recommendation was for unfavorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move unfavorable action on PCR 163-19.
Seconded by Councilman Howe. Councilman McAllister. Any discussion?
It was a request to follow up if the other vendors got a bid.
Thank you. Any further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll. A yes is for unfavorable action.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Marley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
McAllister?
Yes.
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 Mr. Lambie?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
PCR 16319 is unfavorable action. Next item on the agenda is 220-159B, which is now PCR 16419, committee report, finance.
Committee recommended unfavorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Unfavorable action on PCR 16419.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe. Any discussion?
This, the same scenario there, Mr. President. The department was requested to go back out for a rebid, in addition to that, to call all vendors that were being approached for those bids to verify they had, in fact, received the request.
Thank you. So a yes, is there any other discussion? A yes is for unfavorable action, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 PCR 16419 stands past unfavorable action. Next item on the agenda is 22170 PCR 16519 committee report, finance.
Mr. President, we had 2020-170, PCR 16519.
Yes. It's hold till November 18th.
Hold till November 18th.
Held till November 18th. Next item on the agenda is 220-171, now PCR 16619, committee report.
Hold November 18th.
Held till November 18th. Last item on the agenda for finance is 221-93, now PCR 16719, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 16719.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe. Any discussion on that? I think
we have one abstention.
Yeah, one abstention. Councilwoman Travis? Yeah. Councilwoman Travis is abstaining. Any further discussion on this item that wasn't had in committee, Finance Committee? If not, a yes is to approve PCR 16719, and the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
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 Abstain.
PCR 16719 stands passed. Next item under referred business is PCO 1619, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Warwick, 2574 West Shore Road, Capionato Properties LLC, which we already voted on. Next item on the agenda is unfinished business is PCO 719, Pension Board, first passage, that's not drafted, committee report, finance.
Hold November 18th.
Hold till November 18th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 9417, formerly bid number 2017-147, State of Rhode Island Telecommunications Services, installation and parts, committee report, finance.
Hold November 4th.
I have 18th. Is it November? Is it the 18th or 4th?
I marked down the 18th. I'm sorry, the 4th. The 18th is okay with me, too.
Okay. City Council solicitor is saying the 18th, too. Hold till November 18th. And the clerk. PCR 14817, bid number 2018-143, installation of sprinklers at the Cooper Building Drill Hall, committee report, finance.
Hold November 18th.
Held till November 18th. Next item is not drafted. It's PCR 13418, a resolution to create a charter review committee, committee report, intergovernmental.
Hold till November 18th.
Held till November 18th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 13619, formerly 2020-063. Overhead door repair and replacement, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 13619.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe. Any discussion on this item that we didn't have in the Finance Committee? If not, the clerk will call the roll, and a yes is to approve. Yes.
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 PCR 13619 stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCR 14619, a resolution to remove a deed restriction. Committee report, public properties.
Favorable action.
For Action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 146-19.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Do you want to move an amendment, Councilman?
I'll defer to the solicitor.
So you're making a motion to amend in the city.
Make a motion to amend PCR 146-19.
And it's seconded by Councilwoman Travis and Councilman McAllister. If you could read the amendment into the record.
The amendment is at the top of page 2 in line 3. It says, and the owner of said parcel of land shall provide a title insurance policy insuring the city in the amount of $75,000 with no exceptions in Schedule B of the title policy.
Thank you. And this was also discussed in committee at great length, and I believe the attorney for the project was here too. Are there any questions regarding this amendment that were not asked at the subcommittee? If not, a yes is to approve the amendment, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 The amendment stands passed. Councilman Lattiser, if you could move it as amended.
Move favorable action on PCR 146-19 as amended.
Seconded by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman McAllister. Any discussion on this item as amended? If not, the clerk will call the roll, and a yes is to approve. Yes.
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 PCR 146-19 as amended stands passed. Next item on the agenda is PCR 149-19, a resolution relative to claims. Committee report, public safety.
Hold till November 18th.
Hold till November 18th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 151-19, formerly bid 22123, electrical maintenance and repairs. Committee report, finance.
Hold November 4th.
Held to November 4th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 157-19, net motion mobility premium maintenance service contract. Committee report, finance.
Withdrawn at the request of the sponsor.
There's a motion to withdraw. If you could make that motion to withdraw, Councilman.
Make a motion to withdraw PCR 157-19 at the request of the sponsor.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister and Councilman Howe. Any discussion on the motion to withdraw that wasn't had in committee? If not, the clerk will call the roll. A yes is to withdraw.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Yes.
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 PCR 157-19 stands withdrawn. Next item on the agenda under unanimous consent is PCR 158-19, a resolution to transfer $100,000 to the school department. I believe that's Councilman Ricks. You make the motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser.
I'll second.
Any discussion on the resolution to transfer $100,000 to the school department to complete a study regarding recommendations for a new high school? Councilman Howe.
Just for point of order, Mr. President, or just for knowledge, if you don't mind, is this normal for the city council? And again, I'm in favor of this. Mm-hmm. I'm in favor of moving forward and getting the schools. I'm just asking the process in a short reply. Is this normal for the city council to do this for the school department, or are we doing this because we understand the school department is already working on a trim budget?
So as you recall, we just had a special council meeting to give the school department money. Mm-hmm. When that issue comes up.
Yes.
When they say they need it and it's something outside of what we anticipated, which we just went through in July. So to answer your question, yes, we do this to give them money. I think what spurred this conversation on was the fact that they were coming back to us when this council and then council president Solomon divided the bond. And we said, hey, show us what you're doing with the 40, and then come back. So now they were saying that they need more, and they were going to come back and ask for $90 million instead of $40 million. at some point in time, there's a useful life expectancy of things, and we started wondering if it's better as far as timing goes, considering that Governor Raimondo passed a $1 billion funding formula for the local communities. I know that several council members had contacted me. I sat down with the school department. I also sat down with RIDE. I went to Providence and sat down with RIDE. I think Councilman Lattisaw came with me. I had also requested a meeting with the mayor on that. Unfortunately, I didn't get notice, but I know Councilman Sinapi went. So, make a long story short, I think that this is well worth the $100,000 because we have the possibility, depending on how much it is for a high school, to get over half of it back from the state of Rhode Island. So, you know, I think that's why Councilman Ricks put it in, and everybody was excited about it.
My question was purely procedural. You answered that,
so,
and I thank you.
I was just trying to give background about why we're excited about going in this direction. And I think, you know, from what I'm hearing, everybody's on board, and Councilman Sinapi.
Just so no one's surprised down the line, bear in mind that in talking with the superintendent today, the amount of money that ultimately might be necessary may end up being less, it may end up being more than the $100,000. So if we hear something within the coming months that there's a different amount or that not as much was needed, we all now know, if you didn't already know. And also, regarding the maintenance of effort, according to our solicitor, we don't have to worry about this contributing to the maintenance of effort because of a explicit exception in the state statute. Correct. And if I'm miswording it, Councilor Harrington, feel free to correct me. So we have those two things to keep in mind.
Councilman Larsa.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will definitely be supporting this particular item. As a matter of fact, I would request the sponsor, Councilman Ricks, if I could sign on as a co-sponsor with this. As the council president indicated, he and I had met with the superintendent of schools and the chairwoman of the finance of the school committee, Ann Ride. So I view this as another item that we cannot continue to kick the can down the road. You've heard me talk about my pet item, which we won't get into right now, and that's what happened. We continue to kick the can down the road, and now we're in, you know, some pretty dire straits. I view this issue as the same thing. There are three of us sitting on this city council today that were on this council 3.5 to 4 years ago, and we spoke about building a new school then, as was at the time Council President Solomon. We spoke about building a new school then, and we couldn't get the traction to get it done under the previous administration. Today, we are looking at a significant increase in cost to build this school from what we could have done 4 years ago. The good news is that we could qualify for up to 52% reimbursement from the state. That money's not going to be here forever. And that money is up for grabs from 39, well, we got a couple of communities already doing it, but from 37, let's say, communities that could possibly throw their hat in the ring and say, listen, you know what, we want to get a new school built as well. So the school department, as you heard the council president say, is looking for us to approve a total of $90 million to repair buildings that I don't think we should be repairing, quite frankly. But if we do have some buildings that need to be repaired, to me it makes a lot of sense from a business point to let the state pay for up to $90 million of repairs. Actually, $95 million. So the guesstimate on a new building today, we're talking all in. We're talking fields, sports complex. We're talking the kids in the chairs, the teachers at the desk teaching, and we're ready to rock and roll. And the number is about $190 million. If we get 52% of that back, that's a serious piece of change. And now that money could be used to upgrade the repairs that are necessary to these other buildings without hitting the tax rolls of the folks of the city of Warwick. That makes a lot of sense to me. Stage one, this goes into various stages. Of course, we have all the government bureaucracy that's involved in this, and the uphill issues that we need to deal with. Stage one has already been completed by the school department, and they paid for that. Now we're into stage two, and they don't have all of the resources that is needed to get us through stage two, which is hiring this expert that we need to hire to get that completed. Now, it's no secret in this room and to many other people that over the last 7 years, you haven't seen a lot of positive comments coming from this councilman about school spending and business habits. But this is an issue that I think we don't have a choice with this. To turn around and walk away from potentially $90, $95 million doesn't make any sense to me. To say, well, okay, so, you know, we may not be able to get this completed in 2020. So what? Maybe we can't get it completed in 2020. RIDE tells us that given the tenacity and the due diligence and the enthusiasm that they see both on the school department and on the city side, the city council side, they think that we have an excellent chance of getting this ready for 2020 bond issue. They think we have an excellent chance. So sometimes you need to invest a little to get a lot. And this is what we have. This is what our situation is we need to move on this. We need to say that, you know what, the time is here. We need to quit kicking the can down the road. We got to build a new school. We got to re-energize our citizens in the city. We've got to give people a reason for wanting to stay in Warwick, come back to Warwick, get their kids out of the charter schools and the private schools, and bring them back here to the city of Warwick. We need the young folks to come back to the city because they're looking at their youngsters who maybe they're only in grammar school, maybe they're not even in grammar school, but they're there, or they're in junior high, and they're saying, you know what, I want my kids to go to this new super-duper high school. This is all productive. Your teachers get motivated. Your staff gets motivated. The kids get motivated. We have a significant challenge to increase our academic excellence in the city of Warwick. And I think this is a major step in doing it. So those are all the reasons I support it. In the business world that I deal with every day, I wish I had someone tell me, Ed, if you buy X dollars and cents, I'm going to give you back 52%. Let me tell you, I'd pack the room with inventory. We don't have that. We have a golden opportunity here to accomplish so much. We're going to need to make an investment of $100,000. I think that is an investment worthwhile without a doubt. And for all those reasons, I will be supporting it. And also, thank you, Councilman, for co-sponsoring. Thank you.
Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, thank you. I definitely think we got to be headed in the right direction. I mean, let's face it, you know, the only way up now is up, I hope, and to go forward. I did take a tour of the Barrington Middle School, and it was amazing to see the new school and all the technology now, and all the safety issues and everything that they was put in. It's a three-level building for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And it really motivates you to say, oh, my God, we need one of those in Warwick, you know, and we got to go forward. At the same time, you know, I'm one of the people that always arguing with the school department or school committee. I just not comfortable sometimes when, like, when we had the consolidation, you know, we give them, what, $250,000, and they didn't, I don't think they implemented one thing that was mentioned then. So, you know, to give them the money and hoping put their foot to the floor and say, now do what you say you're going to do and get the job done, and hopefully it's going to be at that price, and we're moving forward, that'll be a great thing. I do see a better communications with the system we have now. So I think this is one way we have to go forward. If this is the way to get us motivated in the right direction, our kids deserve that. So all the people, the taxpayers, the city of Warwick. Thank you.
And I would point out that Councilwoman Travis and I attended a meeting on Thursday, and the mayor was there. And what was interesting was that right now in the city of Warwick, we have 48 kids through the Pathways program attending school, high school at North Kingstown. We have 46 through the Pathways program attending school in Ponagansett. And as they pointed out to us, although they wouldn't admit it to the superintendent or the people that work for him, they admit it to people after they leave, they're going there because they like the facilities. North Kingstown's a new buildings. They like the fields. They wanted to play sports, whether it be soccer or football or lacrosse. And coincidentally, you look at those programs right now, I think North Kingstown is playing LaSalle tomorrow night in North Kingstown to see who's going to be in the girls' soccer, who's going to be number one in the girls' soccer area. North Kingstown played, I believe it was Hendricken earlier this year, and that was considered the game of the year in their division because they're the two top teams. And it just brought an enthusiasm to that community that really energized it. And I think Councilwoman Travis was listening in that presentation as well as I was, and thinking what a boost that would be to Warwick, because maybe we wouldn't see $2.1 million going to Ponagansett or North Kingstown. Maybe that $2.1 million would stay here. And they were predicting by 2023, with the increases that they're seeing, that we could be looking at $3.5 million a year. That's half of a maximum tax increase going out the city. The most frustrating part about that meeting was when they talked about that the cost to educate a kid in North Kingstown, I think, was around $18,000. Here in Warwick, it was $20,000. But the way that the regulations are written by the state of Rhode Island, we pay $20,000, even though their costs are $18,000. So you can imagine all the waste going on there. We were trying to advocate for change, and I know the school department was. So it was refreshing to have good open lines of communication. We didn't feel that way in the past. I know council members weren't even allowed to talk at some meetings. So that did not add to the communication between the council and the school committee in the past. And I think the communication this year between the council and the school committee has been great, and they've been overly supportive. Councilman Cawley.
I think that modernizing our school buildings will certainly be an uplifting experience for the people of the city. However, I have a little different take on it. I think that we are focusing on the wrong end of the education. I think we should look towards trying to change the way we start educating our kids. I think that this money should also be used to look towards building a modern preschool that will be able to take the children in Warwick from ages 3 up till the kindergarten age. When we were touring the schools before, when they were seeking bond money, I went to the preschool at the Drum Rock School, and I learned a lot about the education and how the young children are impacted. About 80% of them now have special needs or special learning challenges that allow them to go to the school. And about 20% are mainstream. And in speaking to the principal of the school, I suggested to her, well, I asked her, how many people would she be able to accommodate if she had a larger space? And she said, I could double the size of our enrollment in a matter of a month if I had a bigger building. Right now, we are sending preschool kids to a retrofitted elementary school. It should be stated that my research in education tells me that unless a student is performing at grade level by grade 3, they are never going to catch up. If we were to build a new preschool and tie it into our public school system, we would be building something that the aging population in Warwick, now we have more people over 60 years old than we ever had. Those houses are going to go on the market in the future. If we want to try to draw young families to Warwick, if we had a public preschool that took kids from ages 3 up till kindergarten and gave them the education that they needed to step into the first grade at a level that would be what the ideal first grader would attain, then when they moved on up through the elementary school, they would do better than the way we have traditionally done it. We have traditionally taken everyone in and we try to catch them up to speed, and we have not been successful. This is a different idea. Let's try to find a young person when they're young, when they're a seed, plant them in the ground and water that seed with all of the love and nature and nurturing that the school department can do, so that our kids can perform academically as well as athletically. I am a big proponent of athletics and academics being tied in together, but I believe that this would give the opportunity for young parents to have their children be in a school environment rather than paying upwards of $10,000 to $15,000 a year for childcare, which is basically making sure the kids don't get hurt, get their rest, and have fun. There is some teaching that's going on. I am not in any way trying to degrade the people that run the childcare centers, but I think we should look differently at our education, and I would like for the school department to look into the possibility of building a brand new preschool, which in my mind would be certainly a smaller structure than what would be needed for a high school. Or we can, you know, go in with both feet and do both.
Do both.
If you're going to dream, why not dream big? And this is something that might change the end product of the education rather than building a brand new high school and then repeating the process we've been doing for a long time that has not gotten results that the taxpayers are satisfied with. But perhaps if we were able to begin the process when they are young, we would be able to assist our young people growing up into being better academically trained and be able to compete at the level that is the highest in the state. I would suggest that we build the Gold Star preschool that every other city and town would like to have. and that we be the first to do it.
Thank you.
Those are my thoughts.
Any other comment? Okay, yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 Stands passed, PCR 15819. Next item on the agenda is PCR under unanimous consent, PCR 15919, a resolution to Rhode Island DEM recreational grant funding. Councilman McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, this is DEM has some grant opportunities, and the city has identified a number of parks and projects that would be ideal candidates. So we would like authorize the request that the mayor submit such applications to the Rhode Island Department of Environmental Management. The projects that have been identified are reconstruction of the Bishop Park and Playground, improvements to Clegg Park and Playground, improvements and additions to Oakland Beach Playground and Boardwalk, master planning services for Mickey Stevens Sports Complex, and reconstruction of the Apanog Baseball Complex Playground. I move favorable action.
Seconded by Councilwoman Travis. Councilman Howe. And could I ask Mr. DePasquale to come down to talk about these?
Excuse me, Mr. President. I wasn't seconding it. I was raising my hand.
Ask a question. I'm sorry. Somebody else is here to speak on it.
Luke Murray from the Planning Department, here to speak on behalf of the director. So as you know, this is the new grant round for 2020. We've identified projects, as you know, in the past, which we have some going on, and I'm happy to announce that we'll be completing some of these projects, including Salters Grove Playground. The Green Cemetery across the way will be open in a couple weeks. And as we near the end of those projects and expend out that money, we're hopeful we'll be positioned well for our new round of grants. We selected these sites specifically because in the past we've done sort of an in-kind process to meet the match. It's a 20% match, 80% funded by Rhode Island Department of Environmental Management. That model has worked. However, with the staffing we currently have with Department of Public Works and in-house, we find that while we can do some in-kind match through project management, it'd be wiser to advance these projects more expeditiously if we can match them with financial funds. And so all of these projects align with, most of these projects align with community development block grant funding that is available. So we identified Bishop and Clegg, which are in eligible zones for CDBG funding, which there is $240,000 available right now for that match. In addition, Apanog also falls in an eligible district, and they also get regular allocations under the $100,000 that they could allocate toward that project. Mickey Stevens, we already had in the parks budget, and I've worked with James Scott on this. There was earmarked approximately $20,000 for professional services for Mickey Stevens, and we were planning to leverage that to expand the services because $20,000 just isn't enough. We know that that effort is going to be, we want to have a comprehensive strategy to the complex, want to look at all angles, want to come up with a comprehensive master plan that's a methodical approach, and we think through the estimates moving forward to a second stage where prospectively we'd be able to obtain construction funding. And then the Oakland Beach, again, eligible for CDBG, and as you know, the boardwalk is in disrepair. The playground has seen some challenges as of late, so our plan would be to reconstruct that. We've talked about a splash pad in the past and also reconstruction of the boardwalk, which there is $194,000 in CDBG also available for Oakland Beach for that effort, and the mayor is committed.
So when you talk about Mickey Stevens, what's the overall budget for that project?
So we're going to be going for an under $100,000 grant just for design services. At this point, we don't know what the estimate would look like on construction, and that is why we want to bring on a design consultant to help us look at what the needs are of the facility, which sports have changed over time. We know that we need to do a needs assessment, a comprehensive needs assessment, and then based on that needs assessment, come up with conceptual master plans, and then come up with an estimate on implementation. Because we know that there were, you know, there's been challenges in the past in doing that. We want to really see this project move to a sort of a visioning stage and give everyone what could be, so that we are able to leverage future funding for construction.
So what's your vision of improvements at Mickey Stevens?
So it's really a community vision. We want it to be a community-driven process. So we know that the whole facility, we all know, is in challenge and in some disrepair, and some more than others. So what we'd be doing is going out to the community and letting them drive the process, letting the Parks Department drive the process based on the user needs. Because I don't know if we need 8 tennis courts out there right now. I don't need if we need 3 baseball fields. I don't know from the Planning Department side if that is what the community still needs as of today. If that is what the community needs, then we'll certainly try to accommodate that. And also a consideration for sustainability for maintenance moving forward, knowing that we have limited staffing, even though that this honorable body has broken out parks and has made a commitment to the park system, and we know that. But we have to create more of a sustainable path forward. We also know that. And Mickey Stevens is a large complex. So one of the guiding principles will be provide what the users need, also maintenance sustainability moving forward. And that goes for all of our facilities.
So would you go out to bid for a consultant on this?
It would be. We'd go out to bid RFP for consultant services. Consultant services don't necessarily have to be, per state law, the lowest bidder. We want the highest qualified. Obviously, in this complex, it would probably behoove us to have a multidisciplinary type outfit. You can find a mom and pop outfit cheap, but to get somebody qualified to deal with some of the challenges at this site. And so that's why I would think that we'd need this boost in funding to accomplish that goal. I don't think 20,000 is, you know, 20,000 might get us some visioning, but there's some technical aspects to this site that need to be really addressed. And we need to have a firm cost, knowing what we're getting into, if this council is going to really start tackling this and allocate funding. So we want to give the most information to the council so you can make decisions at a later stage on whether that's something you want to commit to.
So you're saying that you need how much to go out to a bid for a consultant?
So based on what we have here, which would be under $100,000, if we match that 20, we'd be at about $120,000 for design services. What that'll get us, again, we could make a selection on how much is offered as far as the design. We have certain base services we want, but ideally we want to extract as much data as we can out of this consultant. So there's a lot of engineering services, including potential soil testing that might be involved. We're not sure at this point, but
because
this particular piece of the project would be approximately $120,000.
The capping on the landfill, is that why you need to do soil sampling?
Well, we had a study. There was an assessment already done, I believe in 05, and by VHB, and not to go down too far down that hole, but obviously there was some identified issues from a phase one standpoint, and that would be part of we'd have to look at with the consultant. Again, I can't comment tonight on what we're going to find out of this report. We haven't really made the deep dive since we've been talking about this for, I guess, over a couple decades. I was here in the late 90s, and I did a master plan for this. And you're probably still looking at the same master plan I did. So, you know, my hope is to take a deeper dive, and really what we need now is information, right? Everyone's been hesitant to really pull the trigger on any funding because we really don't know what we're getting into, and that's what a consultant can tell us, is we need that data to really drive this process forward. And if the price tag on this and the work effort is too much, then we have to make that decision based on data.
So are you looking at the ice rinks, the pool, the tennis court? You're looking at everything?
We're looking primarily at the site layout and the facility, the exterior facilities. That would be part of this. We don't expect any movement to the pool or skating rink. We won't be doing any interior assessments. It'll be primarily. Now, that said, we may look at the parking configuration. We may look at access configurations. I believe all that would be in play because it would behoove us to take a big picture view of the facility and the layout, but I wouldn't hamstring the designer from looking at the site layout. But as far as the internals of the rink or the buildings themselves, at this point, no, that would be a separate effort that we look at.
Because I we lost the ice when the power went out, correct?
What's that?
ice in the rink when the power
went
out.
That is correct.
Because we don't have a generator strong enough to maintain the ice when the electric's out. Is that something that you'd be looking at?
Not personally, not under this grant. Not something we're looking at, because again, this is really looking at exterior facilities. I know that and I can't speak on behalf of the director. The director would have to speak on his own behalf. But I know that he's committed to looking at other avenues for funding the building and looking at those facilities. One of those is, I believe, energy improvement upgrades that are ongoing from RISE for the lighting and occupancy sensors. That's one aspect they're looking at. As far as a generator, that's something that he may be looking at through operations or other avenues, but I'm not sure.
So I'm all for getting grant money, and I'm all for improving facilities. I'm a little bit hesitant on knowing what direction we're going in, what we're trying to accomplish, kind of getting a piece of paper saying, you know, this is what we need the money for, but not really having any details about what the goals are. That bothers me. Now, Mickey Stevens, that services every single ward. I get that, because that's where everybody goes to ice skate or to go swimming. That's our main facility. Or Appanog, you know, services my area. A lot of the kids in that area playing the softball, baseball, whatever else they're using the field for. I don't like getting a proposal that's one sheet that says, hey, we're gonna study this and we need $100,000. I would have preferred to see a list of what you're actually gonna do at Mickey Stevens, because obviously you didn't pick Mickey Stevens not knowing what you wanted to accomplish.
Well, with all due respect, I don't know if I communicated it well. So this piece of a grant, which would be going for grant monies, is for professional services only. And so while I could say, yeah, we're going to rebuild the baseball and we're going to rebuild everything in place, that's not what we want, because we know we have issues out there. And we also know that it may not be serving the user needs. What we need is somebody to come in and do that user assessment and also give us options. So one option may be, hey, pickleball's coming up, and we want to provide a citywide, that is a regional park, is one of our few regional parks in addition to City Park and a few others. But really, we don't have that many that people drive to as a destination park. And so what we need to look at is coming up with maybe three or four options and saying, how does the community want to mold this, and then go out to the community and bounce it off them and say, here's the price tag with each option, and really go through that deep dive process, and then also look at the technical engineering aspects, drainage, the contamination issues, all of the other things layered over that. Are there funding revenue generators out there that we could look at to offset some of the money that we're going to put in? And after we get all that data back, then we can look at the construction, the specific things that I believe you're talking about, Mr. President. But at this point, I think that short-term investment, just like I heard you just talking about schools in the stage two, that stage one, that is exactly why RIDE makes you put in that money, right? They make you take the deep dive on schools to do the needs assessment, the facilities assessment, to understand that. And so this is a very similar proposal.
Which is a great point you just made, which is you want to know, just like the school department, where the best area is to fix. So, to me, it seems like we're putting the cart before the horse. I'm all for this, by the way, giving money to study this. That's not the issue. The issue is, where is it supposed to be spent to the best use possible? And it was just kind of perplexing to me that we limited it to areas, you know, Mickey Stevens or Appanog or you know, four or five areas. Oakland Beach needs some fixing because of the, you know, that's another great area that's used so often for fireworks and car nights and all the things they do down there. But it was just perplexing to me why, if we're doing a needs assessment, for example, Councilman Sinapi and I were discussing some issues earlier tonight with regard to fields. And I know from experience that a soccer field generates about $90,000 in income if one group leases it two nights a week for the entire year. So we have recreational facilities, like you're talking about outside sports. You're not talking at Mickey Stevens. You're not talking about in the ice rink. You're not talking about in the pool. You know, you're talking about tennis courts. Well, up at Tollgate, we have a ton of fields that we're not even using that could actually pay the interest and principal payments on any bonds that we're looking at. But, and maybe I don't want to speak for you, but does that mean because you fortuitously didn't identify the fields at Tollgate, for example, as recreational opportunities, that a consultant wouldn't look at that because now we're limited to that list of five areas that you happen to talk about? So, for example, if it doesn't make sense putting a baseball field or a soccer field on a capped hazardous waste site, that it might be better to kill two birds with one stone by putting it in an area where the schools wouldn't have to use a bond referendum that we're talking about to build fields, and it's income producing, that now we're prevented from doing that because even though we don't know where the best place is, we've limited to the five or six places you put on that list? Or is the consultant going to be open to suggestions, listening to ideas, and it might not be at a Mickey Stevens outside. It might be at another area within the city, which, oh, by the way, we're talking about going out to a bond referendum on, and we have tennis courts at Winman that could be used to be fixed up, and we have all those fields behind Winman and behind Tollgate that aren't being used that we're talking about using bond referendum money. Councilman Lattisaw just mentioned $190 million. Part of that, we're going to have to give to the Tollgate area because, as we all know, you're going to want to spread that bond referendum around. So now you got a great opportunity. I'm all excited about this. You got a great opportunity to get matching funds from the state, from a different department of the state, DEM, not education, not RIDE. So now we're in a situation where, well, we put these five areas down. Is that the best place to put it? So my question to you is simple. Is that going to be limited to those five areas, or is your consultant going to be able to say, hey, wait a minute, it might be better to put it over here?
So the kind of two different questions. One is the funding that we're going for, the grant we're going for, limited to these sites? Yes. So when I say that it's going to Bishop Park, you're approving a resolution for us to go to grant, because we have to be specific. We can't say to DM, we just want to look at the city and start spreading money. And also, they limit the amount that they typically design. This is construction on the other facilities. Mickey Stevens, solely what you're talking about is design. As far as the needs assessment, that is something that I am performing somewhat in-house with James Scott and Holly Weber. So to identify facilities, look at facilities across the city. Now, we haven't sought funding for an outside consultant because it is a big effort. And to be quite honest, it's a big effort for all of us, especially when recreation is in season. But we are tracking on that effort. We are moving in that direction. We identified Mickey Stevens specifically because we know that it is something that has come up a lot as of late. We know that the facility is not in great repair. We know that based on anecdotal evidence of what we see and the way it's used, it is a used facility and needed facility. And so, you know, don't let the great be the enemy of the good. So it'd be great to have a needs assessment and fund that. But I think for the purposes of this grant, we'd be better positioned to really look at this one facility and start off there. I agree with you, Mr. President, that we do need that facilities assessment, really cross-platform, look at everything, all assets and inventory, including the school department. And that is in process, but that's a long-term effort. So I think in order to walk and chew gum on this one, what we're looking for is try to advance Mickey Stevens forward while we're working on the other pieces of the pie.
So we're not just talking about Mickey Stevens here. I mean, you've identified five. So did you consult council members to ask what they thought about needs assessments in their area or regions of the city?
So a lot of this is honestly financially driven. So of most of these on the list are community development block grant match. Having direct experience with Salters Grove and being out there literally on the ground shooting laser marks and working with DPW, quite frankly, I don't think we have the resources right now to be doing in-kind matches on construction projects. We really need to find that financial match, whether it's through operations funding or through creative leveraging, which community development block grant gives us. So a lot of the driver behind this was looking at those opportunity zones that we have money and really leveraging and looking to leverage the DEM grants in this round. Mickey Stevens was already budgeted into the parks budget. So myself, the parks and the parks director identified that facility as a good prospect because it's already earmarked. That was the primary drivers. What we know out there is the condition, and then there's some financial surety on the other end to accommodate that match. And that goes for all of these facilities. There's a need, and there's a match.
So, for example, could you have gotten community block grant for the tollgate fields? And
no.
Why?
Because it doesn't fall within that census tract. It has to be a low-income area. So Appanag, the core concentration in Appanag, but Connecticut is now out. Pontiac is now out. We're getting limited. The CDBG funds are working. They're elevating the income of our community, which is great. But now those federal funds are starting to get pulled back. And so the mayor is committed to some of those funds being reallocated to the parks where they're sorely needed. And as we identify the zones that we can allocate money, we had a very short list. And so these are
Can we be privy to that list?
Sure. Absolutely. I mean,
I don't know what properties are on that list.
Bill Facente, I believe, could provide you with the short list that we had, and I believe most of these were on the list. I think the only reason we didn't identify a couple of the others was because we already had other projects going on. We also want to limit what we scattershotting RIDEM is not a great way to approach grants. So putting in 10 applications and expecting maybe get two. I think you're better off focusing on three or four really quality projects that you think you can get done. And we also need to deliver. The more money we spend, as any grant agency will tell you, if we can spend that money within the year, we'll be eligible in 2021. And that's what we want to keep doing, is spending that money quickly.
Okay. Councilman Qualley.
I'm assuming that the Bishop Park and Playground is the area in Ward 1?
Yes.
Okay, and I know that they were working together with the people from Salter Grove when Salter Grove is now coming to completion, and that there were some of the members that were trying to find grant money on their own to try to do something with the Bishop Park and Playground. I'm just curious. I know Bishop Park has a basketball court in the middle. It has a pedestrian track that walks around the circumference, and it has a couple broken down slides. Other than that, there's nothing at Bishop Park. What is planned for Bishop Park?
So again, we would procure a consultant for those properties, and we'd do a needs assessment with the community. So typically, I was a project manager for 7 years for the Boston Parks Department. So I'm pretty attuned to this. I ran hundreds of meetings. And what we typically do is we'd procure a consultant. We'd go out to community, have no less. That was the mandate, was no less than three community meetings. And let them drive the process. We have our site analysis phase. We'd have multiple concepts. And then we'd kind of come to consensus on a design based on the needs of the community. So maybe they don't need basketball anymore. Maybe pickleball is it, or tennis, or whatever. We let them drive, because if we try to force upon them, especially in neighborhood parks, what the city wants, sometimes it's a recipe for disaster. So I believe that we'd follow that recipe in this, where we'd procure a consultant, go to community, get their input, develop estimates, develop designs, and really have a comprehensive process that everyone buys into. And by that point, we'll be well positioned to expend the funding and have good community relations. I believe for all the parks, that would be a process moving forward.
Okay, just for Bishop Park, I know that. I know some of the people that were very active, and when you do have those meetings, I would ask that you notify me if they don't notify me. And I will probably be seeing some of them at, I think they're having the grand opening of Salter Grove this weekend on Saturday afternoon. Or the
26th. So, and yes, Mr. Jarvis, who lives next to Bishop Park, was also treasurer of Salters Grove and has been an advocate for that park, among others. So,
he was very active, and I'm glad that it happened. And I wish I had known ahead of time before I read it here.
Thank you. Councilman Lasso.
Thank you, Mr. President. Lucas, when is this application? When's the deadline date for submitting this application?
So unfortunately, they'll give you a lot of time. They announce in September, and then the applications are due December 11th.
December 11th.
Yeah, and they require a resolution from council and a public open meeting for the application. So. And basically, they want to make sure that the city's committed and on board with the process.
And how much is this grant in totality for these five different wards?
So that's a good question, because we haven't identified. So I'm working as a team. So I brought in Dan Geegan from my department, Bill Facente, James Scott, and we're working together to go out to each facility and do sort of a pre-needs assessment and come up with some numbers that we'd go for. What we wouldn't exceed is what we have allocated for that match. So we know that we have $240,000, which could feasibly leverage up to $1.2 million, I believe. But we also have to temper that with what our IDM would actually allocate, because it's 20%. So we're only, if we were to spend $1.2 million, I believe the $240,000 would, on those facilities, cover that match, spread out. So I know it's a big number. But we'd also have to look at what they actually have in grant monies available. They're not going to give it all. They want to dedicate it, as you know, to all one facility. Typically, they max out at $400,000.
$400,000, correct.
So we'd be looking at probably on average $100,000 to $150,000 per site. And that's mainly because we're focused more on the playgrounds on some of these facilities and the larger site design. I mean, there's probably still going to be stuff left to do, but we're... What we're trying to do is, we have a lot of unsafe playgrounds and that are in need of upgrade, much like Salters Grove, and we're trying to tackle those one at a time.
So I know that the maximum amount that you can submit for this grant is $400,000.
And that's per site?
My understanding is total.
Okay.
Total.
My understanding has always been, in talking with them, $400,000, but that doesn't mean...
Maybe we need to clarify it, because
I will
the clarification that I got today is
$400,000. Okay.
And it didn't say about each.
And again, these change every year. So.
So we're talking $400,000. So assuming that is accurate, maximum grant is $400,000. So that would be 20% of that. So where would the $80,000 percent matching funds, where would that come from?
So, as I mentioned, the Bishop Park, Clegg Park are both in CDBG eligible districts, as well as Oakland Beach and Appanag. So, prospectively, all those sites would be leveraged with CDBG funds with no city operations funds allocated. And we have more funds available beyond the match amount, so we'd be able to match it and then some. So, the idea being that instead of trying to whittle down the projects to the bare bones, we're able to go in with a reasonable estimate to do some real renovations at some of these parks.
I find this interesting, because before I got this book for this meeting, I had no knowledge of anything taking place in terms of grants for various parts of the city. the paragraph here that talks about RIDEM requires that the project sponsors submit documentation authorizing the submission of the grant, et cetera, and the municipality's matching contributions, such as an office council letter, minute meetings, and or resolution supporting this submission. How were these particular, let me back up. So in my ward, of course, we're all selfish here. We're all thinking about our own wards whenever there's, you know, free money coming about. And in my ward, I have a park, which is called Del Judas Park, and it's been there for a very, very long time. Had any consideration been given to an upgrade in Del Judas Park versus, say, Clegg Park or Bishop Park?
Yes, it was. And there was serious consideration given to that, but we have an RFP right now under review for Rocky Point Park that is still under grant funds. That will be just starting up. I'm going to have to get an extension on that grant to run that process. Mm-hmm. In addition, as you know, we have a shelter that's set to go into Rocky Point Park. So those are two projects that are already DEM funded under an existing grant that I'm really working hard with.
You have a shelter going into Rocky Point?
There's a shelter slated under a previous grant the shelters were purchased a couple of years ago that we've been working on. As you know, City Park.
What kind of shelter? Is it a garage? Is this a garage thing we're talking about?
No, it's not a garage. It's a pedestrian shelter, much like City Park, just a pitch roof. The idea of providing shelter for some of the events there that would be the track running, whatnot. And then we've had that shelter. We need to put it in. DPW is contributing some in-kind work to that, so we're working on that. So in consideration of that existing grant, and also Del Judas is not eligible for the CDBG, we did take a hard look, but at this particular time, that's not to say it's off the table for the upcoming year, but I think it's prudent at this phase to get Rocky Point done and then look at Del Judas next year, which, I expect that there'll be funds next year, and we can put that back on the table.
So there's, from my perspective, these questions need to be asked because my constituents, when this hits the streets, my constituents are going to be asking me, well, what have you done to get funds for our area, such as Del Judas Park? And was Del Judas Park considered? And why wasn't it put in the plan? So these questions are important. I'm not disputing your responses or your answers, but it is important for me to know what those answers are. Chief, you wanted to add to this?
Just by experience, and I heard the president loud and clear, and obviously your constituents are going to say, why me, right?
Absolutely.
So just like we talked about the bond issue, and I think they're great questions. I just had the pleasure of being here 30 years. So I remember a day when my first project of purchase through open space was Chippewanoxet and Morris Farm. I did a majority of the grant writing in the city of Warwick. I think the council president was here this long. Who else? And Donna. Right? The difference then that we are now is we always had a match. We had an open space recreational bond to use for a match. And I think while all these projects are within the comprehensive plan and all have been rated for improvement, the only thing this body's looking at is approval for the application. And the key here is the selection of these had to have a match. In the past, we also had a public works department that majority of the people knew how to run heavy equipment. We built half of Rocky Point with internal people. Those people are long gone. People don't really, at this point, know how to run graders and things like that. So we got a combination of things. We used to, and I used to all the time, do as built as my match, right? We saw at Salters Grove that bit us because we had no one to be able to hit him and the crew trying to put it out. Back when the president and I was here early, we had open space and grant funding, so we were able to match. Now, that doesn't mean that facility improvement citywide isn't going to be looked at, because I'm going to tell you one thing, at least Mickey Stevens, if they show that there's too many impediments there, you'll be looking at other areas of the city that can serve that new purpose. And the same thing with Del Judas Park. Obviously, you're not going to have a city center for women's lacrosse there, but you may have improvements there. And if we do get open space bond money in the future, they'll make these things more attractive to the board that reviews them. And it's just my that little experience in history I had to show that this is, because it, at first blush it seems like why these four? All have community development. It's the only match money we can find. And that really is the answer here.
So Chief, while you're still there, I know Mickey Stevens has been brought up on several occasions, and I know that has been a significant issue, that particular sports complex, mm-hmm. to my colleague, Councilman Howe, as well as many, many people throughout the city.
Sure.
And I think it's fair to say that if not all of us, many of us have received an email, a text, or a phone call as to why the bond that was approved by the taxpayers for the Mickey Stevens Sports Complex, part of it, all of it, some of it, has not been issued to or drawn down on to do those improvements necessary at the park. Now, I understand it's a great deal to invest 20 cents to get back an additional 80 cents. I get it. So my question with the Mickey Stevens Sports Complex is, knowing the significance of what needs to be done in that particular facility, why aren't we looking at releasing some of those bond funds to deal with this? Or is that in the plan to move? The bond was when? When was that approved, Bill?
Back in days out.
I want to know when it was.
2006?
2006. And how much was that bond?
I believe it was $8 million.
Councilman. And from 2006 to current day, 13 years, that has not been
touched.
That's
correct.
Right?
And you know why? Because we didn't want to throw good money after bad.
Okay.
Using the words right out of your finance committee and many people that have spoke. We just talked about the schools, about $100,000 being the right thing to do to plan to see where we go. We all know Mickey Stevens.
I'm asking you haven't done the bond.
I'm sorry. I'm answering you. You don't want to do a bond if you don't know where you're going,
okay.
Right? So you have to plan where you're going. Why would you spend money on a bond if that landfill needs to be capped? If maybe the turf fields should go somewhere else in the city? Maybe the plan in the city is you have a turf field on the western side of the city, you have a turf field in the center, and a turf field on the eastern side. Maybe that's the new thing. We don't want to spend $8 million if we don't know where we're going. Mickey Stevens was built in the 60s. A portion of it was compromised. It's not even designed appropriately. So at very least, the first step, you leverage money, you get the design, and then it works in what the president said. You said, okay, maybe there's not enough here. What are the fields we have? Well, we have Tollgate, we have these other things. How do we utilize that? So that is the answer. There is no one that says $8 million is going to remedy that problem the way it exists now without even a plan.
That's fine, and that's an acceptable answer, because what you're saying is in the master planning services, essentially what you're going to be doing is an analysis of this Mickey Stevens Sports Complex and what to do, if you do it, when to do it, et cetera. And you're going to be doing that with this grant money.
Correct. One more thing, okay. I would say that, as important as that, I know growing up, when I grew up, the sports demographic was different. You don't have as many people playing peewee football. You see the rise of women's lacrosse, women's soccer. The needs analysis that we have is so outdated, we could put ball fields there and they'd never be used again. How many here, including me, I coach a peewee team. You can't even get a peewee team in terms of football back on the field anymore. So the first thing we have to do is ask the community what they want, what do the children want to do today and then the next 10 years, and say, okay, now we need more lacrosse fields or more soccer fields. So I think your point's well on. I would just add on that we also need that needs analysis so we can kind of spread it out in the city and see where our assets are.
I agree with that. Is there a sunset clause on that 2006 bond?
No.
Okay.
We would just have to be out.
Okay, thank you.
And just to ask, is $400,000 per occurrence or per application? In all the years I've been doing this, we did several applications. Listen, we're not all successful, but if we get one or two, we've all been good about leveraging that money on behalf of the folks. And listen, this council has a long history of supporting great open space projects through the grant funding. And just like when we have the opportunity, if we have 80% chance of getting money, let's take an application. It's only his time. I'm not doing it.
So, Chief, you said... per application. So Is it, am I to assume that each one of these five projects is five individual applications?
Yes. The individual applications.
Okay. So we could conceivably looking at a potential of $2 million
conceivably, if we decide to fund the maximum for each one. But
they give you the blessing for everything.
Well, we'll determine the amounts as we go.
Sure.
I said, we're gonna have to use our expertise.
No, I just need to get it clear that it's $400,000.
Yep.
Each one of these is a grant.
Correct.
Or an application. Thank
Correct.
You.
Correct.
So I know we're going to vote on this. I was just going to say, Mr. DePasquale, I'm glad you brought up the bonds. You don't have to get up. I was just going to make a statement to my council members, because in the old days, I've been here 21, we would have open space bond money. And this kind of ties into the big picture that we went over last month. Where's our money going? Where was it before? How were we using it before? That's how we were using it. And when you're not matching funds, the mayor froze, the previous mayor froze the bond referendum money for the schools. He didn't use the Mickey Stevens bond referendum money. Why? Because of the cost for principal and interest. Because as we saw in those formulas last month, the money's going elsewhere and you can't match it. So there is a consequence to everything. So the only reason I say that to my fellow colleagues is because it's nice to continue to look at that big picture, because that impacts when you can't spend that, when you're spending that money someplace else, because healthcare is going up, because a pension's going up, because, you know, we got prescription drug caps. You can't put it someplace else. And it's frustrating, because when I was at Winman, they used to hand out towels after we showered. You don't have that type of money anymore. It's going elsewhere. And this is a great example of where the money's going elsewhere. Thank you. Councilman Howe.
Quickly, Mr. President, I just want to say, I remember 3 years ago in my first budget hearings, I asked then Director Holly Weber, do you put in for grants for anything like Mickey Stevens? As my colleague mentioned, I represent Mickey Stevens. 2 years ago, I asked the same question. Last budget hearing, I asked the same question. I just want to say that I understand. I get a better education. I appreciate you doing this. I understand my colleagues absolutely advocating for the areas. My job is to advocate for Warwick, but more importantly, strongly advocate for my area. And I want to thank you and the administration for whether it be hearing me or just taking the initiative. But it's Mickey Stevens needs to be looked at, and I'll be supporting this. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. And I support Mickey Stevens, too. We all do. Everybody benefits for it. And it's great to be able to use the funds from Mr. Facenti's office so it doesn't come out of anything. And that's very creative, and it should be complimented. You're absolutely right. With that said, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 PCR 159-19 stands passed. Ward 1, anything for unanimous consent? Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7? Ward 8? And Ward 9 passes. Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
Councilwoman Travis moves to the docket session. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Council stands in the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket? Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Yes, Mr. President. I have a resolution for in regards to erecting a yield sign on Omaha Boulevard and Estelle Boulevard. We have a traffic study.
Public safety. Ward 5. Ward 6.
I have two. These are docketed from me, Councilman Howell, Councilman McElroy, Councilman McAllister, and Councilman Sinopi. And it's an ordinance of the City Council authorizing the purchase of streetlights, the conversion into the LED technology. And financing through obligations.
That'll go into finance.
Okay. The second one, the same Same sponsors as ordinance of the City Council authorizing design, construction, repair, improvements of streets and sidewalks in the city, including but not limiting to paving, drainage, traffic control devices, safety improvements, and landscaping. And then the finance is going to come through the obligations and determinations of other matters.
That's finance. Ward 7. Ward 8. Ward 9 passes. Have a good evening. And what is it? It's only 11:15.